I don't make anybody happy.
John DePietro on 1540 WADK.
Mr. DePietro, who is in the eye of the storm.
Suddenly, John DePietro became the story.
Radio talk show host John DePietro.
Is Providence crime town?
You know it is.
Folks, joining us right now, as I mentioned, he is the managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. We want to say good afternoon and welcome once again to our friend Justin Katz. Good afternoon, Justin Katz.
Good afternoon, John and everybody.
Hey, Justin, I'd like to start off. I know it's not a Rhode Island thing, but, boy, Governor Chris Christie, talk about cementing your legacy. The photo of him, I happened to be down in New Jersey at the Jersey Shore over the weekend, and the story of how that photographer of it escapes me at the moment, Newark Star-Ledger, where I guess every year, 4th of July weekend, they fly over. They get a small prop plane, Cessna, and they fly over. And he arrived at the airport, and he noticed that the governor's helicopter was there. So he had a feeling, I bet he's still at the governor's residence, which is right along the water. Boy, there they have a governor's mansion, and the governor has like a Camp David right along the water. And sure enough, as he leaned out the plane, he got that famous picture that, you know, it's one of those things. No matter what Chris Christie does going forward, that mention of that photo will be in the first paragraph of his obit someday when he does pass away. It was just, it wasn't the New York Times. It wasn't Washington Post. It was a photographer for the Newark Star-Ledger that had a hunch, and they flew up there, and he zoomed in on the lens, and boom, snapped that photograph.
Yeah, well, journalists with hunches seem to be doing pretty well now and then recently. You know, you think of Loretta Lynch with Bill Clinton just happening to catch them together at an airport.
That's right.
Changed the course of history. Yeah, well, I mean, you add this to Chris Christie with the George Washington Bridge hoopla of a few years ago. He certainly doesn't avoid these controversies. What actually bothered me more reading the story was how he was just apparently taking the governor's helicopter back and forth across the state several times that day, which just isn't fair. I mean, I grew up in New Jersey, and I remember a couple trips where my friends and I would go down to Wildwood, which is the beach way down near toward the south of the state, and it would take us all day long, sometimes 10, 12 hours to get back to the northern end because of all the traffic. And here's the governor just taking a helicopter. That seems a bit unfair. But yeah, I mean, it's talk about bad timing. You know, maybe he should have brought an umbrella out there. My takeaway, though, is if we're going to be concerned about what happens when the government shuts down, like it's happening in New Jersey, that's the origin, for anybody who hasn't heard, is the state is also having their own budget issues down there, and so the governor shut the government down, and beaches are among the things that are shut down. So, you know, if you're relying on the government to be able to go to the beach on a holiday, maybe it's a sign that we are relying on government to do too much, and that should be the takeaway. But, yeah, if Chris Christie visually out on a beach is an interesting image anyway, so let alone with all the controversy in the background.
Well, I want to – it's state beaches. I mean, here in Rhode Island, we do have town beaches, and then you have private beaches, basically. But then you have, you know, the state beaches. And in New Jersey, many of the town beaches were open, but it's the state beaches that were basically closed, and you're right. But what I just find interesting, Justin, before we move in is, you know, Bridgegate, it was a little complicated as it went along, but it was pretty easy to understand. But the thing about a photo like that is, for anyone, it's so easy. It's so damaging because it's so easy to understand of, okay, he's the governor. He closed the beaches, and then there he is sitting on the beach. It's interesting to me because it's one of the most damaging types of stories when it's just so easy to understand. And there's no way he can deny, you know, that he wasn't involved, he didn't know about it. Listen, that's him sitting there with a baseball hat in a beach chair looking right up into the plane. And the guy that took the photo said, there's this feeling, even though he was way high up in the sky, when you point the lens and you're looking through the lens at the person down there, and they're looking right back at you, he must have known, like, oh boy, this isn't good.
yeah. Well, and then there's the setup. I don't know if it was a journalist from the same paper, but later that day, a journalist asked him, "Did you get any sun today?"
Yes.
You know, it's almost like setting him up.
Yes.
He, from what I could see, reading just a few stories about it, he lied and said, "No, I didn't." And then they tried to spin it with, oh, well, I was wearing a baseball hat, so I didn't really get any sun. And at that point, just, you know, you're all in.
Yeah.
just admit it and,
yep.
and move on.
Yeah.
But it also is, what it makes these stories interesting is it's coming to a brand new world. I mean, it's not just going to be journalists with telephoto lenses anymore, because everybody has cameras with pretty high quality that they carry around, video cameras. And there's something kind of creepy about catching a governor at the beach with his family. But at the same time, this is the new reality we're going to have to live by.
And that's right.
In some ways, it's not a bad thing. I mean, if people know to watch their backs and know to not do things that they wouldn't want to have to justify to the public, that might make us a little bit more polite in the future. I don't know.
You know, and we're going to move on. But when I first saw the photo and heard the story, initially, I had heard, and again, I was in New Jersey at the time, that it was captured by a drone. But I didn't realize till the story then came out, and you're right. They then even said, did you get any sun today? And perfect setup. Not pouncing on him like, here's the photo or anything else. I love the fact that it was the Newark Star-Ledger that got it, not, as I said, the New York Times, the New York Post, or even the Washington Post. Justin, what is your reaction to what happened on Friday? People wondering if things were going to get better with Senate President Teresa Pipeweed out of there, now Ruggiero in there. And all of a sudden, in something we haven't, I don't remember the last time we've seen anything like that. That's it. Mattiello, nope, you don't do that. That was an insult, a sign of disrespect. You don't amend the budget. We had a handshake agreement. They all march out. Ruggiero, I don't know what you're talking about. We were just going to put an amendment. There was no handshake. What is your take on what happened and transpired on Friday?
Well, I mean, whether there was a handshake or not, it's kind of silly that we're getting, you know, the media and the politicians are letting us get bogged down in that. I mean, it was literally a figurative handshake.
Yes.
Every year, this is how it works. It's just obvious, and everybody knows it. The leadership comes to an agreement, and then you can watch them carefully, and I've been there sometimes till 4 or 5 in the morning, watching them as one chamber passes a bill, the other chamber passes another bill, and what they're doing is to make sure that they're not, it's sort of like a prisoner exchange. You know, they're not passing anything that would allow the other side to game them for another bill or something like that. And that's the way it goes, and you get those late night sessions. And so I don't know. I think if I'm having trouble honestly believing the whole that it's not more of a cover story than anything. I mean, the amendment that Ruggiero put forward was not fatal to Speaker Mattiello's political position. I mean, he could still say, yes, that's a protection for taxpayers in there. Basically, the Senate wanted to make it so that if the state had a deficit any year, the car tax thing would freeze. The car tax repeal would freeze. And, you know, the Speaker could easily come out and say, no, we're going to make sure that that doesn't happen. I mean, that was his story all along anyway, right? Because people said 10 years ago, y'all tried this with the car tax and it didn't work. So how can we be confident about this? And so I just don't know. I'm wondering if he's really upset. I wonder if the House passed too many Senate bills so that the prisoner exchange didn't go equitably. And so this amendment was a signal to Ruggiero, from Ruggiero, hey, I got you. That's the only, I'm just having their behavior is just hard to interpret if they're even close to rational people, which, is not a foregone conclusion.
It is not. What do you make of the fact, though, of just the way it these are supposed to be, Justin, and again, folks, we're speaking with managing editor of OceanStateCurrent.com, Justin Katz, both Democrats, both adults, supposedly, they're in positions of a power, both authority, and Mattiello folded up the tent, and then they're going back and forth with this thing of there was no handshake, and, we had the handshake agreement. No, we didn't have a handshake agreement, and I don't know what to believe of it, other than it is kind of frightening. These are the people, and according to WPRI and Ted Nesi, there's still no talk that's going on.
Yeah, well, that's, if this is how it's run, it may not be all that surprising. Although, as with the Rhode Island Center for Freedom and Prosperity, we say, hey, this is a stroke of luck.
Yes.
Y'all should stay home for the next year.
Yes.
How about that? Next session, work out your problems and then come back and we'll start destroying the state again. I mean, that's kind of my underlying take of that. I don't know. A lot of the key questions, for example, the state the state overspent its fiscal 17, you know, the year that just ended, it overspent its budget by about $250 million. And they were relying on the revised 2017 budget to sort of appropriate that and make it official and make it okay. And that went down. And I haven't been able to get any answers of, well, what does that mean now? I mean, does that mean we're deficit spent by $250 million because you didn't appropriate the additional money? But what you expect is that the government in Rhode Island will just sort of brush that aside. Yeah, we spent the money. Not a big deal. We've got it. Appropriation's a technicality anyway. So I guess it's also a signal that, you know, the whole thing's just a show and a game, because if they really don't care to that degree, that they're just going to shut things down in the middle of back and forth because of a relatively minor amendment to the speaker's key priority.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder if any of it really matters all that much. I mean, either they're that terrifyingly juvenile,
right?
Or that's one possibility. Another possibility is, the budget dying actually saved a lot of political trouble for Mattiello. I mean, he didn't have to follow through with some of the more sticky progressive progressive rules like the sick time, paid sick time. And the progressives in the state are clearly taking it as a sort of a conspiracy to deprive them of what they had negotiated away their votes for. It kind of got another swat at Governor Raimondo with the tuition.
The tuition thing stays in limbo. Yeah, that's nowhere.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And even the car tax thing. I mean, that's going to be a big budget issue for years to come. And so if in some kind of confusion and strange happenstance at the state house, the speaker can say, well, I did everything I could, but it fell apart. And then he brings it back next year during an actual election year and gets it through. I mean, it's not the end of the world for him if that doesn't go through. So I have a hard time thinking that any of them are really disappointed at what's the turn of events. We'll watch it for the entertainment value. One detail that's very interesting is that there was one provision in the entire budget, which is the continued free bus passes for RPTA elderly. And just out of nowhere, the day before this all went down, the House took up a pre-existing version of that legislation, changed it to match the budget, and then passed it. And the Senate passed it as well, which means that's the one provision in the entire budget. Now, I've heard from several legislators that it's just more petty stuff. I think it was Senator Metz is retiring, is the rumor, and so they wanted to pass that as a going away present, or maybe some other Democrat on the list of people who supported that wanted more bills to pass, so they figured they'd pass that, even though they didn't have to because it was in the budget. It just seems kind of suspicious to me that the day before the budget falls apart, they unnecessarily pass a budget article as a separate provision. So there's a lot of little details like that, but it's going to be interesting to see how it shakes out.
You know, folks, again, it's John DePietro. This is the John DePietro Show. We're speaking with the managing editor of OceanStateCurrent.com, Justin Katz. Justin, were you surprised? I mean, you have every mayor and town manager go to the State House and on that the evergreen contract bill regarding, which means that teacher contracts never expire. And this all stems from the situation in Warwick that's been very contentious, and they closed vets, and they want to reduce the number of schools, and the superintendent, the union, don't even agree, actually, on the number of pupils in the school. He's saying that they were 900 over what the actual count is. So what do? They have a Warwick rep go in, introduce this, and even though the mayors, the town managers, all are against it, had a press conference jointly against it at the General Assembly in the Senate. They just pass it, and so now it falls to the governor to decide whether or not she's going to veto this bill, and then they could still try to override the veto. But, boy, there's no respect for what's going on in the communities. The State House, they really just operate completely by their own rules.
Oh, yeah. Well, and incidentally, that's another one of the little bits of weird evidence from the budget debacle. A lot of us had sort of thought that this was one of the unions, what they got for giving Speaker Mattiello the car tax thing was part of that exchange. And this is one of the things that actually got through it all, which is a little bit curious, I think.
Yes.
The idea that every city and town came out against this. I mean, there was a lot of pushback on this, and that it would go through despite it all.
Right.
It's going to be a little bit harder to explain if the speaker is not getting his car tax in exchange. I'm not sure. We can hope, and a lot of people are asking the governor to veto this particular one, and she might do that as a way just to force them to get back in session in order to override it, and then there's some pressure to get the budget through. But that's going to – I understand she's holding a press conference in a little while.
Yep.
And it's going to be interesting to see how much way she goes with this. I mean, on one hand, she could use this as a way to return fire for all of her priorities first being shaved and then being thwarted by all of these theatrics. So she could do that. But on the other hand, the National Education Association's Bob Walsh has – I've recently heard him talking about how he's sort of changed his view. The last election with Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton proved that, you know, they need to unite. And so he was saying they're going to lay off of the governor. That's distinct from Lieutenant Governor Dan McKee, whom the NEA is actively targeting.
Absolutely.
In the next election. So for the Governor Raimondo to nix this evergreen contract thing, which is the NEA and the other teachers and the AFT teachers unions have wanted ever since East Providence pushed back on unions some years ago, that would really cause a lot of trouble for the governor as she's finally bringing some of the union folks back in
on board. Yeah, it's just if you really step back, Justin, what this comes down to is it's a contract for life. So anyone right now who's a teacher who has a contract, that contract just remains in existence forever. There's no way you would ever go backwards on something like this. When we're negotiating, we show, okay, there aren't as many pupils, there aren't as many students. We have to, like they did in Warwick, they closed vets. They said only a third of the classrooms were full at some of these other schools. They don't have the number of pupils they used to have years ago. And so, you know, they had to make changes. Right now, there'd be no reason to ever renegotiate this whole thing.
Right. They'll obviously want raises, which at some point the teachers will give a little to get some kind of raise. But it basically gives them a veto of policies, often administrative policies that school districts want. And most of all, it flips. It's no longer the teachers union negotiating for higher pay, for example. It's now clearly the school districts negotiating with the union to let them reform or let them address, you know, economic realities or demographic realities of smaller populations of students. But it essentially puts all the leverage back on the other side, which is a very strange thing for people who are supposedly representing the people of Rhode Island to be doing.
It is. It's the citizens. But, you know, it starts to come down to me of this. It's like a special class of worker. You know, many years ago, remember when, like, Speaker Bill Murphy said, hey, these are state workers we're talking about here, as if they're in some kind of special class. It makes no sense if just because of this is not a matter of need. It doesn't address, it doesn't improve education. This is so self-centered that the only people that it benefits is the union. And you're right, it is frightening if, in fact, this is a deal that Raimondo cut in order to ward off them. Bob Walsh, you know, he's the one that recruited Clay Pell to run against her in a primary. You let this go through, and you're going to go without challenge in a primary. It is frightening if that is, in fact, the truth, as it was frightening that Representative Patricia Morgan stood behind Matty Yellow Friday night when he said, you know, he announced that they were all leaving the session. And, you know, all these rumors that they've cut deals to not go after Frank Montanaro in order to, leave Montanaro alone with this whole thing with the tuition, and then we'll give you certain special provisions with bills. I mean, the whole deal-making process up there right now just seems out of control.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's not deal making so much. I mean, it's in negotiating among themselves of what they're going to do to everybody else. I mean, that's, it's almost like we've reached a point of abstraction. It's one step removed. It's no long, there's no direct representation, it seems. Nobody who's saying, no, this is bad for my constituents, so I'm not going to support it no matter what you give me as a legislative, benefit, or whether it's legislative grants I can bring home with a big check to a local charity and get a picture in a newspaper, or some legislative priority like, the paid sick time for the progressives. That's always been how it's operated, but it's just gotten to a point of almost like they're just letting all the pretenses and the disguises fall away, and it's just very clear how things operate. What was it, Jacquard with his insurance spying, you know,
yes.
Where they're going to have cameras and identifying vehicles,
yeah,
all over Rhode Island so they can hit you with the insurance. I think he even said on the floor, you know, In the hearing, everybody is against this bill. So I think he even admitted that as they were voting,
yep,
that everybody in the state, except him for some unknown reason, is really against this. And yet it gets passed because, you know, you're negotiating for that extra vote for some other priority that somebody has for whatever reasons they have.
Sure.
And all of the pretenses are falling away.
Yeah. We're going to ask Justin to hold on just for a moment, folks, and we'll come back to him again. It's John DePietro. We're speaking with Justin Katz, managing editor of OceanStateCurrent.com. But I want to remind you that Mega Disposal is a local family-owned and operated trash and recycling collection company. They've been serving Rhode Island and Massachusetts for almost two decades. You own a small business, call Mega for all your trash and recycling collection services. They have various sizes for estate cleanouts, major construction jobs, entire households. Swing Door will provide easy loading of materials. Mega, MEGA, has smaller containers for local businesses or shops that can be emptied on a weekly, every other week, or monthly basis. If you own a small business, call Mega for all your trash and recycling collection services at 866-420-MEGA, 866-420-6342. You know, you see their trucks and staff collecting your household trash or recycling items at curbside, many local communities. Mega has dumpster service, so small household construction projects or garage and basement cleanouts. Maybe you need 10 cubic yards for small yard cleaning or 15 for most garage or basement cleanups. They have various sizes for estate cleanouts, major construction jobs, entire households. A Swing Door, provide easy loading of materials. Call Mega today. Maybe you have some time out, some time off, and you're doing some kind of work project or work in your yard, or maybe you're cleaning out the garage or a basement or an estate. Call Mega today. They'll get that dumpster in the driveway. 866-420-MEGA. They'll work out the delivery and then they'll remove it. Call Mega Disposal today. Especially if you own a small business. They can set up a schedule. You're emptied on a weekly, every other week, or monthly basis. Call Mega Disposal today. 866-420-MEGA. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. We're going to come back a lot more with Justin Katz on the John DePietro Show. Stay with us.
Welcome, tourists, to the exciting vacation destination of southern New England. Listen to AM 1540 WADK to hear about all of the wonderful experiences in store for you while you spend time in our beautiful communities. Local radio always has the updated information you're looking for. Listen daily between 8 a.m. and noon for the 2-Minute Tourist Guide, designed expressly for you on your best source for information, AM 1540 WADK.
You don't need a thermometer to tell you it's hot and getting hotter, but you might need Scott's Turf Builder with SummerGuard. Right now, you can save up to $10 at the Home Depot. Turf Builder with SummerGuard helps lawns absorb water and nutrients, guarding against longer days, higher heat, and little rain. In other words, summer. Be on guard with Scott's Turf Builder with SummerGuard, and right now, save up to $10 from the number one retailer for Scott's fertilizer, the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through July 5th.
Folks, revolution, softwash, pick up the phone today. You know, I got an email from one of our listeners who was at a cookout and didn't want to say anything, but they were just wondering why there was so much green algae and moss around the property. And then they realized it's because the person had not called Revolution Softwash. Folks, pick up the phone. Call Bill McMahon today for a free consultation. Revolution Softwash, 680-6591. Revolution Softwash, 680-6591. Get rid of the green stuff. Call Revolution Softwash today at 680-6591. Join the revolution. Get rid of that green algae, moss. Revolution Softwash. Call them today. Remember, online at revolutionsoftwash.com and join the revolution. It's Revolution Softwash, 680-6591, whether it's green algae or moss or bacteria. And maybe it's outside on the side of your building or your roof or your fence or patio or deck. Make today the day. Call Bill McMahon, the man with a plan at Revolution Softwash. With all that rain that we had, that's why you have so much green stuff outside. Call Revolution Softwash today, 680-6591, 680-6591. Again, free consultation. Join the revolution. It's Revolution Softwash. Once and for all, they have the safe, effective process. They'll come out and they'll get rid of that green stuff. It's Revolution Softwash, 680-6591.
Broadcasting from the far right on your AM dial at 1540, The John DePietro Show.
All right, folks, and we're back. This is John DePietro. It is The John DePietro Show. We are doing a Facebook Live. We have Steve Conte on the premises, folks. We're trying to straighten it out, so thank you to our friend Rob Bennett and others that are giving us some feedback. May have it straightened out. Again, Revolution Software brought to you by, Facebook Live brought to you by EliteWirelessRI.com. I want to go back to Justin Katz, who is the managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. Justin, what do you think? It is unusual. Normally they try to finish it off and then go off into the night. This is different now. There's no timeline here, so more play can be going on, more negotiating can be going on. Where do you think, where is this now going to lead?
Well, that's the whole question that all political watchers in the state are keeping their eye on. According to statute, the state can continue spending the same amount of money as last year, although there's some question, as I mentioned earlier, the state overspent by $250 million and the revised budget never passed. So the question is whether the starting point is that bigger number or the smaller number. Either way, the fact that they overspent by $250 million last year suggests that they could do the same thing again this year and just pass a revised budget a year from now. I mean, the rules don't seem to be very, very tightly applied, let's say.
No. You're being generous.
So they'll continue on as they were. I mean, some of the new initiatives, like the free tuition at CCRI, which notably the governor is still advertising despite the issues, which probably makes her vulnerable to any upcoming negotiations. But some of those policies, there are going to be a few things. Cigarette taxes will stay lower for a little bit longer anyway. I think they'll work it out. It's hard to say, mainly because we don't know what really caused all these differences and this breakdown. So if there are a few pieces they can snip out that cause them, for example, if they don't want to do the paid sick time, but they want people to believe that they tried, they can orchestrate it in a way where maybe they'll pass the baseline budgets and none of the controversial stuff. Or something to that effect. But the speaker's been pretty adamant that he's not coming back this summer. So, and he kept his word to end the sessions at 10 o'clock rather than go all night. So it may be they wait out the summer, the state keeps spending, and then they come back in fall for a paw socks thing maybe, or maybe to take care of the revised fiscal 17 budget. And at that point, they'll just tie up some loose ends and move on to the next session, at which point they can have all these fights again, and get any credit that's due in an election year.
Justin, you got to admit, it makes no sense at all. They've been in since January, and then it's, the flurry at the end. I mean, if anything, they certainly create the argument that all of this seemingly could almost be done in just a very, very short time frame and not the time frame that they've been working off.
Oh, yeah. Well, right? what they do, obviously, is they keep everybody's little priorities in the hopper in order to secure their budget votes. And that's just how it goes. So you'll watch, and some years I've tried to read all the legislation as it's submitted, which I don't recommend to anybody who's thinking about subjecting themselves to that. But, you get long stretches where there's nothing. And then all of a sudden at the end, you get all these bills. They could easily do this in a 1 month session. If
yeah.
That's the way it's going to be. Frankly, I think they ought to skip every other year or something, especially if they're proving now that they can go without a budget for, you know, it's not a crisis to
right.
not have a budget.
Right.
And you know what? As the Center for Freedom and Prosperity says, stay home. Maybe come back every 2 years. The number of bills they pass every year, it's hard to imagine Rhode Islanders really need all of these things every year.
They don't.
Change and adjust it. And so unless they're going to start undoing stuff, I think they ought to just skip it all. But They could definitely. I heard Representative Jared Nude recently talking about how he'll on a committee vote he'll get a message. There will be an amendment to a bill today in your committee, and you'll vote on it today.
Huh.
And he doesn't even get the language that he's going to be voting on until he gets there. And yet you don't see them holding up their hearings while they all read the legislation carefully. You know?
That's right.
So it's just a big game. And as I said earlier, what's really falling away are the illusions we sort of have. They've persisted in letting us believe as if, you know, votes matter on the floor and as if there's a rule of law and an order to the way these things happen. They just don't seem to care anymore that people know how it all comes down to these budget votes, and it's all just a show and an exchange for votes.
That is exactly right. We're going to leave it there. That is Justin Katz, OceanStateCurrent.com managing editor. Folks, we're going to pick up on Governor Gina Raimondo is expected to have a news conference, and we're going to, I believe, this could be her coming out or someone else, but we're going to have a chance to dip into this and listen a little bit as the governor is going to address the budget standoff. So I see the microphones that are set up, and we will Governor Gina Raimondo plans. Thank you very much, Justin. We will talk to him again. That is Justin Katz. OceanStateCurrent.com. We're going to watch, folks. I want to hear what Governor Raimondo planning a 2:30 news conference to address the state budget standoff. And so we'll carry it live right here on the John DePietro Show. And hopefully those that are also watching on Facebook Live can also then capture it and watch some of it as well. So this will be interesting, and we'll get a chance to hear exactly what the governor is going to say. I'm trying to figure out exactly where that is going to take place. So, but Governor Raimondo, now again, just to bring you up to speed, the governor is going to weigh in. This whole thing kind of fell apart. It did fall apart. It didn't kind of fall apart. It did fall apart over on Friday. And now, apparently, Governor Raimondo is going to issue some kind of a statement. So I'm checking right now just on the Twitter feed to see where this is going to come out and exactly what the situation is going to be regarding the governor. So now it's interesting. So Channel 10 is set up with a live feed. I am checking on Twitter. Channel 12 is not, but they could be late and could be setting it up. See a couple microphones. My goodness, even Channel 6 is there. And that's saying something. But I would be curious. LNE. And again, folks, you can always email me. It's john@depietro.com. john@depietro.com. And also visit the website where I have the whole situation regarding the where, oh, yep, there's Rapley. where Governor Raimondo was basically booed at the Bristol 4th of July parade. And you can read about it at DePietro.com as we put it forward. So let me, okay. All right, we are awaiting the start of the governor's press conference on the budget standoff. So this should be interesting to see exactly what the governor is going to say regarding this. And I would think, I mean, right now there is no one talking as far as the speaker. That looks like the director administration building, I'm going to guess, although I'm not exactly positive. But, folks, so it's good afternoon. It's John DePietro. Hi there, Don. Hi, everyone on FB Live. Again, thank you to our friend Rob Bennett, Henry Chafee joining us as we're trying to straighten out, and Steve Conte's working on it, some sound challenges that we've had with the Facebook Live. But, folks, we're good. The good news is we're working on it, and we're going to get to it. So, yeah, we'll be. I'll be curious. I'll take the governor, the press conference live. We can listen to Governor Gina Raimondo as she tries to address exactly what is going on with the fact that not only did everything end abruptly on Friday, but there's been no communication apparently between the – maybe they're waiting for Channel 12 to get their feet up and going – but there's been no communication between the speaker and the Senate president. So we'll have to – yes, Henry B. Chafee says, is this live? It is live, as a matter of fact. It's Facebook Live, and we're just trying to work out some of the sound. Folks, I want to remind you, Eastside Clinical Lab is Rhode Island's only full-service, in-network, independent laboratory. They've been taking care of Rhode Islanders for over 65 years. With patients being responsible for more out-of-pocket costs, Eastside Lab is dedicated to keeping more money in your pocket when meeting your medical testing needs. You don't have to compromise quality for cost. Accurate, timely testing results delivered directly to the doctor. For more information, visit labchoice.org and find a lab close to you. Eastside Lab, they're dedicated to saving you money. And remember, with over 50 locations, locate a convenient Eastside clinical location near you. Visit labchoice.org. That's labchoice.org. Here's what we're going to do. It's John DePietro. We're going to stand by as we're waiting. Governor Raimondo is going to address the media and give a statement regarding exactly where things are with this budget standoff. And we'll bring it to live right here on the John DePietro Show. You're listening to AM 1540. It's WADK. And then I also want to say good afternoon to everyone that is listening, or attempting to, or they can hear me at least, on Facebook Live, brought to you by EliteWirelessRI.com. So something needs to be done, especially the fact that there is no communication right now between, let me just pull up, yep, you can hear, there's the live feed of Channel 10, so we'll credit them, turn210.com with their live stream. You can hear the reporters chatting in the background on what is a beautiful Wednesday, except the fact that the state is operating on no budget. Not only that, but no communication either. No communication at all, apparently, between both the Speaker's office and the Senate President's office. So we'll keep one eye on that. Folks, as always, and again, I want to thank Justin Katz. I mean to cut him off abruptly, but if the governor was going to speak, we wanted to bring it to a live. And at the same time, I want to make sure that those on FB Live can hear some of the, I believe they can hear some of the sound that we're playing. We are working on that. Here's a little bit, for instance, we're going to wait for the governor. So I'll play the trumpet sound, Steve, to see if we can hear the governor. As the Queen of Tolmunda will address the many people. Can Rob Bennett hear the trumpets? That will be the real test, folks. That will be the real test. But Governor Gina Raimondo is set to hold a press briefing and see exactly where we are with this budget standoff. So I see some people walking out. This could be, well, we don't know who it is. Could be just people going in and out on their lunch breaks. So there's someone on a cell phone. There's a woman approaching. I don't think that is the governor, and no, it is not. the governor. So people just very leisurely. Boy, it doesn't seem to be a busy day up near the State House, that's for sure. Just as we had thought, folks, part-time jobs. I want to remind you, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. Again, you can hear the noise as they're getting set. I count four microphones getting ready for Governor Raimondi to address the media on the budget standoff. You can hear the laughter. Boy, a little bit different than what I... Okay, Brian's saying can hear you, but nothing else. I want to remind you, folks, K&R Roto Salvage, call them today, 353-9200. 353-9200. K&R Auto Salvage, large facility offering used car parts. K&R, they'll also pay you cash for your junk car. Close to 30 years serving their customers. They are the best. It's K&R Auto Salvage. Call them today, 353-9200. Foreign American auto and truck parts. It's K&R Auto Salvage. They offer 80% off retail prices with access to nationwide inventory. Call them for all major car or truck parts. K&R Auto Salvage, 353-9200. Remember, access to nationwide inventory, and they'll pay the highest price for your junk car. You can rely on K&R Auto Salvage. Sound the trumpets. That's right, K&R, located 950 Smithfield Road in North Providence. Sound the trumpets. Go with the leader. Go with the best. Smithfield Road in North Providence, they're right off of Mineral Spring Avenue. You can rely, guaranteed quality, on K&R Auto Salvage. Call them today, 353-9200, 353-9200 for K&R Auto Salvage. That is true. That is true. Well, we're working on it, Rob. Thank you very much, Steve Robertson. Thank you very much for the compliment. Should we turn off the phone again now?
Yeah, give it a second.
All right, give it a second. Okay, folks, Steve Conte, our engineer, who, by the way, thank you to Steve. Fantastic broadcast from Washington, clear as day.
Nice to meet you.
People thought I was in the next room. Hey, everybody.
Whoa,
let's not let it slip out. There we go. Okay. All right, now it's...
All right, we'll try that and we'll be right back.
All right. Folks, this is live radio. We're waiting. I think we're going to have to reset that. All right, let's do this. I'm going to take a quick break, folks, and we're going to be back a lot more on the John DePietro Show.
The following is a summary of the general contest rules for 3G broadcasting. For contests, entry requirements will be announced on air. Winners will be determined in accordance with the criteria set forth in the on-air announcement. 3G broadcasting is not responsible for unusable entries. Station is not responsible for entries not received due to technical difficulties. Station is not responsible for any lost, disconnected, dropped, misdirected, or incomplete telephone calls. Entrants may be disqualified at the sole discretion of the station. Each contest is open to all station listeners who are legal United States citizens 18 years of age or older and who reside in the station listing area. The station shall have the right to change these eligibility requirements based on the individual contest in question. Listeners are eligible to win a contest only once every 30 days. Only one winner per household is permitted in any contest. Participants in the contest must possess valid government-issued photo identification and sign a liability release as a condition of receiving any prize. Winner must meet all eligibility requirements. Prizes will be announced within the specific contest's on-air announcement. Contest prizes are non-transferable. Winners will receive a 1099 IRS tax form if the total of all prizes won for a current year equal more than $600 in value. Prizes are limited solely to those items explicitly set forth herein and shall not include any or all other expenses, incidentals, or taxes that may arise out of the winner's receipt of this prize. Decisions of station management with respect to the contest are final. Odds of winning vary per contest. Payment of all federal, state, and local taxes are the sole responsibility of the winner. Winners will be required to sign an IRS form.
All right, folks, we're going to go to
equivalent. Failure or refusal.
This is Governor Raimondo. Live.
Good afternoon.
On the John DePietro Show.
Day.
Thank you to turn210.com. This is Governor Gina Raimondo, folks, live.
I hope everybody had a nice 4th of July weekend. It was a good weekend. My team and I have spent the past 5 days working together to make sure that government will continue to operate despite this budget impasse. In fact, I'm just leaving a meeting with my budget team, and I'm happy to report that government will continue to operate without interruption. Let me say that, you know, It is the responsibility of our legislature to pass a balanced budget by July 1st, the beginning of the new fiscal year. And Rhode Island has a long and successful history of passing balanced budgets on time by July 1st. And I would like to urge the members of the House and the Senate to figure out a way to reconcile their differences and get back together and pass a balanced budget and send it to my desk for my signature. In the meantime, I want to reassure all the people of Rhode Island that government is functioning. We have not missed a beat. Over the weekend, the beaches were open, the ferries were running, road work continues on our roads and bridges. Our health inspectors are continuing to inspect in our restaurants, and we will continue to operate this government without missing a beat and keep people safe and keep people secure and continue with our economic momentum. The longer the gridlock lasts, the harder that will become, which is why I am urging and have urged House and Senate leadership to put the differences aside, get back to the table, and pass a balanced budget as quickly as possible, because that's the right thing to do for the people of Rhode Island. The people of Rhode Island need us to do our jobs, and right now the job of the legislature is to pass a budget, get it to me, so we can move forward.
Governor,
so, thank you.
Have you had personal conversations with both the President and the Speaker, and how have those gone?
I have. I reached out to both of them. I've spoken by phone to both of them. And I tell them what I'm telling you, which is I know that there were disagreements, but I'm urging them to figure out a way to resolve their disagreements because it's the job of our legislature to pass a budget.
When did you speak to them?
A few times over the weekend.
As recently as today?
As recently as today, yes.
And what are you getting back from them when you say, can you resolve your differences?
You ought to talk to them. These are private conversations that I have with them, and I'm not going to speak for them. But my message has been clear, which is, pass a budget. Figure out a way to pass a budget.
And what are you doing as governor? Have you asked anyone to slow down spending, to slow down hiring? Have any memos gone out? What have you done in the event this continues?
Yes, so as I said, we've spent an awful lot of time over the weekend. My
folks,
staff
this is Governor Gina Raimondo live.
That sort of planning. We will be advising our departments that they're going to have to operate next year with the same budget that they had last year. And that's what we're going to continue to do. That's what we have to do. We will operate this government. We will live within our means. We will operate the government. As I said, the beaches were open. Things are happening, and I will do everything in my power to protect our progress and to keep this government moving forward, because that's what the people of Rhode Island deserve. But it gets harder. It gets harder and harder the longer we go without a budget.
What are your trigger dates? When do you have to send out the first school aid payment? When do you have to send out the other municipal payments? When do you have to make the next big bond payments?
Yeah.
What happens to those payments?
So that's exact. In fact, I just left a meeting from this building where we are charting out the calendar of the trigger dates. The beginning of the month, so July 31st, August 1st, there will be payments to cities and towns for school aid and for aid to cities and towns, and that will be one of the first times that people will notice a big difference.
And what do you make of the fact that CCRI, when I left the office, was still running an ad on its website saying, apply for Rhode Island Promise?
Yes, I think that's a good thing. We have made a promise to students, and we will deliver on that promise.
Even without a new budget, you're going to deliver?
Yes.
How are you going to do that?
Yes, we will figure out a way. I'm looking at all of my options, but we will figure out a way. It's a very tiny amount of money. It's, I think, less than $2 million in the context of a $9 billion budget. We have made a promise to these students. They are planning their lives around it, and I am going to figure out a way to make that possible.
Do you know what the exact number is? There was a little confusion about that.
I don't, but my budget analyst could tell you the precise number.
What about departments that are operating currently at a deficit and you requested...
Folks, this is Governor Raimondo live press conference. You're hearing it on the John DePietro show over the budget.
What happens
shutdown in Rhode Island?
Yeah. we're going to have to operate them under last year's budget. So the supplemental was not passed either. So it's a very challenging situation.
Governor, what do you think is the problem between the House and the Senate?
You ought to ask them, Bill. I'm not in the middle of that. I wasn't party to those conversations. So clearly their discussions broke down somewhere, and I'm just urging them to get back together and do the people's work.
Governor, when everyday Rhode Islander interprets this as a power struggle, are they wrong? Are they wrong in that interpretation?
I think what you just see is a breakdown between the House and the Senate. You know, somewhere, somehow, communication broke down between the House and the Senate, and there are legitimate issues on either side, but what the everyday Rhode Islander wants to hear is, how are we going to fix it? And that's what I'm focused on now. Not so much how did we get here, but where do we go from here? The everyday Rhode Islander deserves to know that when school opens in the fall, it's well-funded, and we have flourishing public schools, and government is functioning. And so that's why I'm saying to the legislature, figure out a way to reconcile your differences and get me a balanced budget.
But Governor, is this doing part of the impetus for coming out and talking with us?
Is there anything besides you holding a news conference saying, guys, get together, that you are doing to try to bring this stuff together?
As I say, I talked to them both over the weekend. I'm urging them. I talked to members of the House and the Senate. But it is the legislature's job to pass a budget. It's the most important thing that our legislature has done and does. It is their responsibility. And until they figure it out, I'm going to operate the government.
But you have a role here. I mean, and some suggestions are that it's private unions that were backing you that caused this whole thing to fall apart the other day, and you have influence over them. They have influence over the Senate president. What are you doing?
I would love to be able to control everything. The fact of the matter is, I put a budget in, and it's now the legislature's job to do their job, which they do every year and have done every year, to pass a balanced budget by July 1st. And I'm strongly encouraging them to work through this impasse and give me a budget. In the meantime, I'm operating government on the old budget.
Is this part of your calculus, though, to talk to us and to light a fire under them? Is this part of the plan that you have as far as why you're talking to me?
Partially. You know, although I've communicated to them very clearly and strongly that I think it's in the best interest of Rhode Island to pass this budget, to protect our progress, to not let...
Folks, this is Governor Gina Raimondo, live press conference
doing
right now,
our job. And right now,
courtesy of turntoten.com, on the John DePietro Show.
I'm saying we had a breakdown. We had a breakdown which is unprecedented. You know, we're in uncharted territory. And I don't think it's helpful at this point to point fingers. Who said what to whom? Whose fault is it? What the productive, constructive thing to do is to figure out a way to work through this and pass a budget.
Can you offer any advice to the city and the town?
We've been talking to the mayors throughout the weekend, and they know their cities better than anyone, and they're each going to have to make their own decisions.
Can you name anything in government that will change because we don't have a new budget? Anything you're pulling back on? Anything you're holding back? A contract? A pairing? Anything that the public would notice if we spend $300 million less this year, but starting with right now?
Well, certainly there will be, and that's what we're trying to figure out. Look, it'll be what I will do is operate on last year's budget and do everything in my power to make sure that we take care of the most vulnerable, our schools continue to operate, we continue our economic development progress. Having said that,
folks, again, this is John DePietro. You're listening to Governor Raimondo, live press conference on the Rhode Island budget shutdown.
There will be consequences.
And I want to thank a live feed off turntoten.com.
Nothing particularly, but we are, you know,
we're going to follow this.
This happened unexpectedly.
We have the news
on a Friday, so we're working all weekend. My primary,
and then we're
going to
have a lot more next hour on it.
Weekend.